Let's lift our hands. Father, we slow down tonight and we think about our words. We think about our prayer. We think about what we're saying to you, Lord. Lord, you are truly great, magnificent, and mighty. You truly are someone to stand in awe of. And Lord, we do that tonight. Of your presence. We stand in awe, Lord, of your goodness that is here among us. Lord, we don't take your presence for granted. Thank you for gracing us tonight with your presence. Of all the places in the universe that you could be tonight, you're here with us. Lord, that's so humbling. That you would actually take the time to visit us and to be here with us tonight. Oh, Lord, we're so thankful. We're so humbled, Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you tonight, again publicly, as I've already done privately, that you fill my words tonight. That you lead, guide, and direct us tonight by your Spirit, and that you would say, what you desire to say to us. Teach us. Instruct us. Correct us. Draw us closer to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. You know, when you and I got born again, when we made Jesus our Lord, King, we actually started on a lifelong quest toward Him, a lifelong quest to learn how to walk. You know, when you get born physically, you have to grow and mature physically, mentally, and emotionally, and you learn how to walk. You learn how to do things. You have to develop these skills. You don't just come out of the womb walking. Amen. The potential's there, but it has to be developed. Well, the same thing is true concerning our faith. We have to learn what it means and how to truly walk spiritually. To walk spiritually is to walk by faith. Amen. Let's look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. The Amplified says, "For we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves." Notice this. "By our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance." Amen. You know, I had so many different directions that we could go tonight, and don't ever want to just, you know, preach for so long now. It's like, okay, you can just almost pull a message here and pull a message there. This one sounds good, that one sounds good. And just because you've got so many messages and so many, things that you've done through the years, it doesn't mean that that's what God wants to say tonight. Yeah. Right? Amen. And so I was thinking that the Lord was just going to grace us tonight and allow me just to preach a classic, what I would call a classic faith message. But it is classic just the same, but it's a little bit different direction. When I woke up this morning, he began to lead me in this direction. So we're gonna see how we progress in this. It's okay. Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you about the journey toward the throne. The journey toward the throne. To walk by faith, or the walk of faith, it is a divine path toward God. And we should be walking, or we should be moving toward Him daily, not away from Him. Amen? It is a journey daily, a daily journey that we have toward the throne. Each of us. Amen? And without holiness, think about this. Without holiness, none of us will ever see the Lord. It will be holiness that gives us an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not anyone can just come into His presence. There are degrees of His presence. We've learned that and discovered that through the years. There are varying degrees of the presence of God. The closer that you get to Him, the further along you get on this journey toward the throne, His presence will get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen. And that should be our heart cry. That should be our hunger. That should be what is driving us daily in our walk of faith toward Him and toward the throne. Amen? Many times, we just view these verses of Scripture here in 2 Corinthians 5:7. I don't know how many messages I've preached on these verses through the years. Loads and loads and loads. But many times we just read these verses of Scripture concerning walking by faith, by not being moved by things that we see, hear, or feel that would hinder us from receiving physical things, whether that be healing or prosperity or physical needs being met, whatever the case may be. And that's true. We shouldn't be moved by what we see, hear, or feel regarding physical things. That's absolutely true. But when you begin to examine the Scripture and you begin to examine our walk with God, this is actually a very, very low level of faith. And a low level walk of faith. Amen. Now, it's an important level. We must understand that. And we should not miss out on this level. But there's a higher level of faith that He desires for us to live in and walk in on a daily basis, a higher level of faith that will not only get physical needs met, but this higher level of faith will allow me to grow toward Him in this journey toward the throne, in my relationship, in my walk with the Father, to be closer with Him daily. Amen. Higher level of faith. The primary purpose of faith. A lot of times we water it down to just something material or something physical that we can see, feel, or touch. Something that we physically need. And that's just a portion of it. The primary purpose of faith, it's not just for those things. As I said, that's a lower level. But the primary purpose of our faith is to draw us toward Him so that we may grow in our relationship with Him. Amen? I want to operate on this higher level. What about you?
Amen.
Amen. So the primary focus of our walk of faith should never be regulated down to only pertaining to the physical things of this world, but for God Himself. We walk or we journey toward God by faith, not being moved by what we see, by what we hear, by what we feel. In other words, nothing should deter us, nothing should distract us from walking and drawing nearer to Him every day. Nothing. We walk by faith, not by sight. We journey toward Him by faith, not by what we feel. Amen? Daily. Think about this. What's at the end of your faith? What's at the end of my faith? What is at the end of our faith? Is it a new car? Is it a new house? Is it a new job? Maybe it's even something physical in your body. Is that the end of your faith? Shouldn't be. You see, these things are just benefits. They're benefits that we get to enjoy along this journey that we have, that we've embarked on toward the throne of God. They're benefits of our walk, but they should never be the object of our affection. They should never pull us away from God. That should just be something that's added to us, that's extra while we're here, because we're here in this present world. And there are certain physical things that we do need here in this present world. But as we seek Him in this higher realm, then these other things come. It's a matter of course. Amen? Ultimately, the end of our faith is God Himself. It's not a house. It's not a car. It's not a diamond ring. It's not a new watch. It's not a pair of shoes. It's not a new dress. It's not anything like that. That's so shallow. The end of our faith is God Himself. Nothing more, nothing less. Being in His immediate, intimate presence is our finish line. Amen? We must stop. Stop being satisfied with outer court living when it comes to His holy divine presence. See, it's in the outer court where all these other things that will get your attention, the house and the car, and you know, not that they're bad things, but we need to progress further and stop being satisfied by outer court living when it comes to God, and to press into His holy divine presence like we never have before. Pass through the outer courts toward His holy temple. Pass through the inner courts. Are you here tonight?
Amen.
And even on past the inner court, pass on in. Make the journey on in to the holy place. As we get closer and closer and closer to Him. And then because of the blood of Jesus, we now have access into the most holy place of all, the place where God Himself abides, the place where the presence of God is the strongest, the Holy of Holies. Wow, you ever think about that term? The tabernacle in the wilderness, Solomon's temple, all of the courts and everything leading in there, and then the holy place, and then past the holy place, you know, you pass through the veil, the curtain that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. Wow. Where it was filled with smoke. It was filled with the presence and the power of God, where the priest only dared enter in there after he had gone through this prescribed order of things to get rid of and to make sure all of the sin was gone from his life, he could not enter into that holy of holies. If there was any inkling of sin, not even a thought. Because if he did, he was toast. Because God is so holy that sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. Amen. 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 What's the degree in your life tonight of the presence of God? Where are you living your life? Going along with the political correctness of this world, which they're doing their best to try to change what they call the culture of the church. Well, the church isn't a culture. Christianity is not a culture. It's the Word. We abide by the Word. We live by the Word. I don't care what happens in the world. It doesn't change the Bible. You see, you can't take these things into the Holy of Holies. You can't take these attitudes, you can't take the, what we call these progressive or new ideals into the Holy of Holies. They just won't stand there. You can't get in there with them. You're not allowed there. Matter of fact, you couldn't enter in there if you wanted to and you tried. Just because the presence of God was so strong, it would keep you out. An angel wouldn't even have to stand there with a sword trying to keep you out. Wouldn't matter, wouldn't need it. Amen? Amen. The Old Testament temple, it was a type and shadow of greater things to come. And because of the supreme sacrifice of Jesus and his holy blood, being shed for the remission of our sins, we now have access to the Holy of Holies, the very throne of God himself. Because his blood has been shed, we can now journey through the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, and into the holiest place of all, toward the very throne of God. This is where the presence of God originates. It has to originate somewhere. Well, God is everywhere. Yes, he is everywhere. Amen. He is omnipresent. But his presence originates somewhere. There is a source of that omnipresence. This making sense? And that source is God himself. In the holiest place of all. Amen. His blood has given us access there. And in regards to our faith, and according to Matthew 6:33, we are to be seeking him first. Things should never be the primary focus of our faith, but only the very throne and the very face of the Almighty. Nothing else. I wonder what it's going to be like when we reach the end of our faith. I wonder what it's going to be like at his feet as we are there before the very throne of God. What is that going to be like? What's it going to look like? What's it going to feel like? Wow. You ever think about that? It's amazing when you begin to think about it. And because we have nothing really to compare it to physically, or nothing that we've really experienced tangibly in this life, it's kind of hard for us to begin to wrap our mind around that because we haven't yet been there. And yes, I know by faith we approach the throne of grace. Yes, absolutely, we come boldly there. We sure do. But face it, you're not just going to go there by faith while you're here, but you're actually going to be there. I mean, you are going to be there at the throne. What's it going to feel like? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What are going to be the thoughts that are flooding our minds? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. This okay tonight? First Timothy, here in chapter 6, it kind of gives us a little glimpse, just a little glimpse of what this may be like when we get there. Let's pick this up in verse 11, since we are talking about faith. It says, from the New Living, of course, but you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Notice what he's telling him to do, right? Run from the evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Now notice this in verse 16, it says, he alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will, it says. Well, I thought we were going to see God. Notice it says here that no human eye, right? Your physical body is in a fallen state. One day you're going to get a new body, a glorified body. This body that you have, it cannot go there. It has to change. Sin has contaminated this body. It has disqualified it from entering there. Can't go. That's trippy when you begin to think about that. Amen? Read this again. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human eye can approach him. In other words, he is so bright. That moment, that his throne, it's going to be so bright. What are you going to do? You're going to cover your face. You're going to fall down on the ground. You can't even see. I don't care how many pair of Maui Jims you may put on. You're not going to be able to see anything, Jack. Because the light is so brilliant. Do you ever think about that? He's so holy, and there's so much light. There's so much cleanness coming out of him. That's going to happen. Amen. We're going to experience that. You're going to experience that. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. Amen, it says. So that gives us just a little glimpse. A little glimpse. Listen to the message. Verse 16, he's the only one death can't touch. His light so bright that no one can get close. And it's not that he's trying to keep you away. He's not that he's trying to you know, he's got this security guards around him trying to keep all the people away from him. It's just because he's so holy and that he's so bright. That's so trippy, isn't it? He's the only one death can't touch. His light's so bright, no one can get close. He's never been seen by human eyes. Human eyes can't take him in. Now, people have gone to heaven. People have visited heaven. I've heard some magnificent things about people being there. Amen. Even John, the Apostle John, had gone to heaven. We read about that in the Scriptures. But not their physical bodies. Not that part of them that's tainted with sin. But their spirits. Amen. Look over at Revelation chapter 4. What's it going to be like around the throne? What's it going to look like? What's it going to sound like? What's going to be going on there? What's the deal? Let's read some more. Revelation 4, verse 1, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. And instantly, I was in the Spirit. And I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones. Well, we just read there in 1 Timothy, right? So bright that you can't even... He even look upon them. John's describing them as this brilliant gemstone. He didn't know what type of terminology to put on. He's trying to describe it in human language so that we can understand it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones like jasper and carnelian, and the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. It's like, how can I describe this? How can I paint a picture of this? How are people going to believe this? What it really looks like here. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. 24 thrones surrounded him. 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne, look at this, came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. What is going on there? My goodness, all God has to do is move his little pinky and, you know, lightning bolts fly. And there's a rumble of thunder when maybe he shifts in his seat. That's wild. And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had like a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings. And their wings covered all over with eyes inside and out. And it says here, day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is to come. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you please. We read this here in Revelation. We read this in the Bible. We read this scripture. And you need to read this, and you just need to let your imagination just run wild to try to paint pictures of what we just read, of what this may look like, of what this is going to be like, of what's it going to feel like. The one that not only spoke this world into existence, but the one that created all of the planets surrounding us. And not just the planet surrounding us, all the other galaxies. The one that created this entire universe. He's bigger than the universe. The universe can't even contain him. He's so big. Mighty and strong. It's amazing when you think about that. Isaiah got a glimpse of that. Look over at Isaiah chapter 6. Prophet Isaiah got a glimpse. And he was tripping. See, we need to remember this the next time that we pray. Instead of, you know, so busy, we're praying in our car, we're putting on makeup, we're praying this, or we get in a hurry, or whatever it is, and when you say these little prayers, stop and remember who you're talking to. Remember who you're addressing. We show so much dishonor so many times when we talk to God. It's not even intentional, but we regulate him down. Well, it's like I'm talking to Joe, or I'm talking to, you know, whoever the case may be, and how you talk to everybody else as a human. But he's not like that. And as much as we try to bring it down to everyday life, well, God's a person, you talk to him like you would everybody else. Yes, you do, but no, you don't either. Is this making sense? Isaiah, look at this. In verse 1, it says, it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. Notice that. It says, he said he saw the Lord. Or he had a vision of the Lord, right? He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe, it was so big. Can you imagine the size of his robe? It says here that it filled the temple. It's huge. Attending him were mighty seraphim, these are angels, each having six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. And with two, they covered their feet. And then with the other two, they flew. They were calling out to each other. As they flew around the throne of God, they were calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." It says in verse 4, their voices, the voices of these angels, right? Flying around the throne, looking at the face of God, peeking through their feathers. If angels have to cover their faces as they fly around the throne of God, what's it going to be like for you and I? It says that their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. The Shekinah glory of God, the manifest presence of God, could not be any stronger. It filled the temple. Wow. Can you imagine the lightnings and the fires and the thunders and everything that's going on there as this power is just surging? We haven't seen anything like it. They don't make a nuclear bomb big enough to even compare to the power of the Almighty. And then notice what Isaiah said. As all of this was going on, he's describing this. he said, it's all over. I am doomed. I bet you would feel like that too. I am a sinful man, he said. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips, yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Wow. The very first thing that Isaiah did as he's taking all of these things in and he's seeing all of these things and he's hearing all of these things and he's feeling all of these things was that he fell down on his face and said, I am doomed. I am undone. How am I going to get out of this? I can't get out of this. I don't even want to move. I am an unclean, I am a filthy, sinful man. He acknowledged the holiness of God. And he acknowledged that he was so unholy in comparison to him. But it's so cool if you read the story. It's so cool what happened there as he began to acknowledge how unholy that he was and how sinful that he was. That an angel came, right? You see that? Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. See, Isaiah was receiving his call to the ministry. Right? Blood of Jesus hadn't even been shed yet. Now, how the Lord did all of this, I don't know, but he did it. He's God. He can do what he wants. Amen? But the very first thing, the reason why there's so many Christians today, so many believers today, where we tolerate sin and we make excuses for sin and we just begin to accept whatever is going on in the world and that it's normal, that it's right, and that it's okay is because you haven't been to the throne of God. You haven't spent any time in the presence of God. You're out here in the outer courts. You're not even in the inner courts. You're out here on the outside of things, where everybody's got their opinion, everybody's got their ideas. Well, I think this scripture means this. Not, you know, God's not that way. God is love. Are you here? You haven't been to the feet of Jesus. You haven't had an Isaiah experience. You haven't had an experience like the Apostle John had. You're not pursuing him. You're not on a real journey toward the throne. You're backpedaling. Or you're stagnant, treading water. You're not growing toward him like you should be. Just because something may be allowed here in earth doesn't mean that it's allowed there. Just because man may pass a law and say, well, this is okay, you can kill a baby, all in the name of convenience. Doesn't mean that it's okay there. Who are we to think this one that we just read about, who are we to think that we can set up these laws and rules and then we try to make God fit into that? You can't do that. What if we just had the humbleness of heart to acknowledge, hey, maybe I am wrong. Maybe I do need to re-examine my heart. I do need to re-examine my life. Maybe I do need to take another look at things here. Just maybe. Sobering. Do you really, really, really want to take that chance of taking all of that rubbish in? You can't. The truth of the matter is, if you really got honest with yourself and you really got honest with your heart, in your heart, you would know that this is truth. This resonates on the inside of every one of us. No matter how you try to talk yourself out of it, it's true, just the same. It's awful quiet in here. Let me read this again from the Living Bible. It says, the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the temple was filled with his glory. Hovering about him were mighty six-winged angels of fire. With two of their wings, they covered their faces. With two others, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. In a great chorus, they sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Such singing it was. It shook the temple to its foundations, and suddenly the entire sanctuary was filled with smoke. Then I said, my doom is sealed, for I am a foul-mouthed sinner, a member of a sinful, foul-mouthed race, and I have looked upon the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Just one glimpse of this holy, glorious God should leave us desiring and wanting more. Just one taste of his glory. The reason why many of us aren't as on fire and passionate about the things of God as we should be in our lives is because we've stopped tasting. We've stopped eating. We've replaced him with other things. We're not using our faith properly. You got all your faith confessions. You can make all your faith confessions about finances. You can make your faith confessions about your dog, whatever the case may be. But you're really not truly living and walking by faith if you're not growing and journeying toward the throne every day. We need a glimpse of his glory. You need a glimpse of his glory. Think about it. And you need to ask yourself, you know, this question and ask yourself honestly, do I really want to see God? Do I really want to see God? Am I just satisfied with living out here? Let somebody else talk to God. Let somebody else, you know, do the work of the ministry. Let somebody else do all the praying. Let somebody else, you know, do all these other things and just let me play out here. Let me have my fun. Let me do all of these other things and just... Or do you really, really want to talk to God? You know, in this world, many nations are still kingdoms. Not as many as there used to be. And in these kingdoms, there are real kings. There are real queens in these kingdoms. And just because you are a citizen of, say, Great Britain, it doesn't mean that you are automatically going to have an audience with Queen Elizabeth because you're a citizen or you're a subject as they are in the kingdom? Are you one of her subjects? That doesn't guarantee that you're going to have an audience with her. Not everybody gets to talk to her. Everybody may want to talk to her. Everybody may want to shake her hand. But you don't even stick your hand out to shake her hand unless she extends hers first. There's so much protocol that goes into that that it's mind-boggling. You have to be schooled before you're even ushered into her presence of how to conduct yourself. And this is an earthly monarchy. We know a little bit about that here in Hawaii. There was protocol, right? Well, there's protocol in the kingdom of God. Spiritually, there's protocol. Amen? There are millions and millions of people in England today that would like to talk to the Queen that will never, ever see her in person. They may see her on television or something, but don't ever get to see her. She'll never know their name. Never even know that they exist. Right? Amen? Not everybody gets to enjoy a close relationship with her. But in the kingdom of God, it's different. Or it can be different. But the truth is, in the kingdom of God, there are so many of us that we don't take advantage of our rights and privileges of being now in Christ, of being saved and being born again, that we now have access to God. We're not growing as we should be, but we live out here on the outskirts. And just because you may be saved and you may be born again, it does not mean that you are going to have that face-to-face relationship with God Almighty that somebody else may have. Well, the king this, and well, the king that, and get your opinions and your ideas about the king, but you really don't even know him. Hello. Amen. This could be the reason why that many of us don't see the faith results that we should be seeing while we're here on the earth with natural, physical, tangible things. Faith for healing. Faith for prosperity. Faith for whatever it is that we're releasing our faith for. Yes, you're born again, and yes, you're subjects in the kingdom of God, but your relationship with the Lord is a long-distance one because you've allowed it to be tainted with sin. You're not living a holy life or working at living a holy life. Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's so stupid how so many Christians, that, you know, you say something, you talk about living right, you talk about, you know, living holy, you know, you got to be holy. Well, I'm the righteousness of God, you know, they'll begin to quote all scripture. Well, yes, you are, praise God, you sure are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ, but you're not even really living your life in Christ. Righteousness is your position, so to speak. It's your birthright, but holiness is how you conduct yourself in that position. And if you aren't conducting yourself properly, you may be saved and you may be born again and you may be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but you aren't going to enjoy that closeness, that fellowship, and the benefits like others do. Well, I just can't seem to get this faith stuff to work. Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? A lot of times, it's because we're not living holy. We allow things to come in that shouldn't be there. We entertain ourselves with what the world says is okay. We entertain ourselves. It becomes dinner entertainment. Sin. Our words,
thoughts and our actions, when the primary purpose of our faith is for him, and then we wonder why it's not working out here on this lower level. Well, listen, if it's not working for him, it's sure not going to work on this lower level. Aren't you glad our air conditioner's fixed? Man, my fingers are getting cold. But I ain't complaining. I don't want to hear a peep. Your faith will be far more effective when you live a life of holiness, because your focus or attention will be on the King, not on what the King has in his hand. Let me show you a scripture, and we'll have to end up here. I knew I wasn't going to be able to get all of this in tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. Holy moly. I'd like to go through the entire chapter 11 and chapter 12, but we don't have time. Hebrews chapter 12. But we can next time. Verse 14, it says, work at living in peace with everyone. And work. Everybody say work. Because it's work. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Did we just read that? Well, I thought we were under grace. Or I thought, you know, this is a New Testament church. Well, this is New Testament that we're reading, right? That's what it says. Amen? Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Now, when you get saved and born again, there is that inner work that happens by the Holy Spirit. You become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you are made right, put in right standing with God inwardly and spiritually. You've been given that right. You've been given that place. You've been given that right. Amen? But then here on the outside, there are things that hinder us. That hinder us in our walk of faith. It's not a really popular message to preach something like this, but I've never intended to ever be popular. I would much rather be popular with God than I would with anybody else. The Living Bible puts it this way. It says, try to stay out of all quarrels and seek to live a clean and holy life, for one who is not holy will not see the Lord. The Message says, work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Well, I want a glimpse, and I want more than a glimpse. Amen. The throne of God is a throne of holiness. Think about this. There is zero sin there. There is zero sin in heaven. I mean, there's none. I mean, none. We have a hard time understanding that because everywhere we look here, there's sin everywhere. Sin will infiltrate your thoughts. You're sitting here tonight. I'm sure you had some sinful thoughts because you're here. But there is no sin. There is zero sin there He is a holy God. And we're on a journey there to where there's zero sin, to where there's nothing like that. Inwardly, we get saved, we get born again, but now we are on this path, we are on this journey towards this holy throne, this holy place. And we should be exercising our faith and fighting the good fight of faith down here to live a holy life. Amen. Sobering, isn't it? A lot to think about. And we'll end it here tonight. Holy Spirit, I've endeavored to obey what you instructed me with this morning. I've endeavored to say what you spoke to me to say. I've endeavored to do what you wanted us to do tonight. Now, Holy Spirit, as I've sown the seed, I leave that seed in your hands. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue to cultivate that seed so that that seed would grow up, that it wouldn't be choked out by anything else. Holy Spirit, I ask you that tonight, tomorrow, the next day, the day after, next week, that from this day forth that you continue in a greater measure to convict us, convict our hearts of these things and these areas that we've allowed unholiness to creep in, convict us and to help us to remove these things and to help us repent and get free of them so that we can journey toward the throne together, that none is left behind. Lord, we must have greater degrees of your presence in our lives. Lord, it's as we have your presence and we get a glimpse of your presence and we get a glimpse of your holiness that we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Help us change tonight with that which you have revealed and shown us tonight so that we can walk in a higher degree tomorrow. Then, Lord, you help us to grow even beyond that. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you.